Today, I have on one of our favorite members. I am interviewing Ryan for the podcast, and we are so grateful to him, his insight, and his love for the Natural Chaos app. If you have not already joined our app, you can always look in the links below. You can find it on the Apple and Android store, and I'm excited to get into this podcast. So we are going to cover Ryan's first talks experience, his experiences with Accutane, and we really go over to some insights and perspectives on the pharmaceutical industry. So it's a long episode of a lot of thought, and I just hope you love this conversation. Here we go. All right, Ryan, thank you for joining me for today's little chat and all about our Natural Chaos community. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and thank you for inviting me on to the podcast. I'm very enthusiastic and proud. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, I'm excited to have you. You are definitely one of the first people I wanted on it, just because I think you have a unique perspective, and just overall, you've been with me for so long. And honestly, you were one of the first guys we ever had too. So really stood out.
Yes, that does make an easy standout, I guess.
Yeah. Well, cool. So give us a little bit of background on you. Like, where did you grow up, and kind of like, what did you study, and, you know, kind of what brought you into adulthood?
Sure. So I grew up in the suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. I was very much enthusiastic in high school with musical theater, with dance. I went to Ohio University and got my Bachelor's of Fine Arts with a concentration in choreography, ballet, and modern, minor in kinesiology, and a nationally recognized certification in personal training. So that was a huge accomplishment for me, because even though I was in musical theater while I was in high school, I never actually took technical classes. And I auditioned for the program at Ohio University, and out of 500 people, 36 were accepted, and I was the only male that was accepted. And I had no real actual technical training behind my entrance into the program.
Wow. So it wasn't like you were growing up in ballet class after ballet class.
No. My first ballet class was 2 weeks before going to school.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That in itself is kind of remarkable, considering that people like spend their entire lives preparing for those auditions, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a very daunting task. And I would not say that that was not something that I didn't have to take in earnest very heavily on right from the get-go. I was up against individuals at the school that had been dancing since they were able to get up on their own 2 feet. So I took ballet class on top of ballet class on top of modern. I was in the studio for an average of 60 hours a week for my first 2 years, just getting caught up. And out of the 36 people that were accepted into the program my freshman year, 18 of us graduated. And I was one of 4 people that actually graduated with a paid contract with a major dance company.
Wow, that's incredible. We've known each other for a long time, and I don't think I ever knew that, like, golden nugget.
Yeah, it's definitely one that I hold very close to my heart, and it comes out in conversation every once in a while, but I like to focus on the successes and the journey that got me to where I was, and how I kind of curtailed my experiences. College was a very, very difficult time, because it required a lot of growth, not something that I've ever shied away from, but I like to kind of end cap a lot of my experience with the successes that I had, and I guess those are successes, but as a ballet dancer, the whole purpose of working so hard is so that the audience doesn't see all the hard work that you have to do before you get on stage. So I tend not to bring that up too much to a lot of people because I don't really feel like it validates what I did after my education.
Now that's an incredible story. And probably having that background of hard work and perseverance and just like a quick learn, you it probably set you up for feeling empowered anyways to conquer other things, you know, and maybe when you came across the natural chaos community, you were like, yeah, I think I'm capable.
So it definitely was, and it showed me very strong into the direction of never let somebody tell you you can't do something until you're the one that allows yourself to believe that.
Amen.
And I
Amen.
had a lot, very much so, amen. I had a lot of people in my educational background, both colleagues and professors and guest professors that said you are wasting your time. You are not going to get your technique up to the point where it needs to be in 4 years. And, you know, maybe you should switch to a different major. And I kept on saying, no, I will do this. I will do this. And by the time that I graduated, every piece that I had auditioned for, I was accepted into those positions and pieces. And, you know, even afterwards, I made the decision that I wasn't going to follow along with what people would say was a quote unquote standard dancer lifestyle. And I auditioned for the world's first physically integrated dance company called Dancing Wheels. It's based out of Cleveland, and I danced with and for individuals that are physically and mentally in different spaces than what a stand quote unquote standard dancer was. So inside of wheelchairs, people that had autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and I traveled across the country for 4 years with them. Performed for over 175,000 audience members and got to teach people of all ages from 6 to 75 that just because you're different does not mean that you cannot create beauty in your life and in the lives of people around you in the way that you were always meant to do it.
That's awesome. What a great experience for you.
Yeah, it really was. It was a life-changing experience for me, and it was definitely something that I hold very dear to my heart.
Well, I'm so glad you shared that with us. Okay, so we're trying to have people fill out these forms before they get on. And honestly, I knew a lot of this stuff, but actually going through your form was awesome because I did not realize you were on Accutane and had struggled so hard. So maybe you can talk about that experience.
Yeah, so right around 14 years old, I started developing pretty bad acne. And I had a dermatologist that was very much along the lines of let's push oral antibiotics, topical creams, and harsh washes. We're going to dry your skin out, we're going to kill the bacteria, and we're going to migrate you into this. And I was on pretty much every pharmaceutical medication for acne at that time frame that you could potentially be on: monocycline, tricycline, dicycline. And all that it was doing was completely destroying my gut health. It wasn't helping with my acne.
So
I
you
was.
never saw any improvement from those drugs.
So from those medications and the antibiotics that I was taking, I would see temporary changes. But unfortunately, with acne, it can change depending on so many different factors: hormonal, your diet, exercise, environmental, your stress levels. And none of it was really helping in long term. And I ended up, after probably bleaching out 15 to 20 different bed sheet sets because of the benzalkonium peroxide washes and all of these harsh chemicals that I was placing, I ended up divorcing that dermatologist and said, "You're not doing what I need you to do. I really need to try Accutane. It seems to be the only thing that is on the market right now that is geared towards people with chronic cystal acne,
Right.
like
You
what
know
I
what's
have."
crazy to me is how many dermatologists make kids suffer for so many years trying out all the antibiotics, drying out their skin, being red, and you go through these cycles with these doctors because they're so concerned about prescribing Accutane, but they're never concerned about all the other side effects that happen from giving all of those antibiotics and building immunities to them, to the actual person's emotional state of feeling embarrassed, feeling like their skin is never going to improve, or even being scarred as you're waiting to finally get Accutane.
Of course. And there were innovative treatments that a few of my friends were trying to go through, but they were so astronomically in the wrong direction. They would go in weekly for extractions, and they were getting horrible ice pick scarring. I
Yeah.
mean, 17 years old, and their face was covered in horrible scars. So when I ended up moving over to a new dermatologist, I had made a very strong statement to them. And I said, "Listen, I understand that dermatologists and doctors make their money off of having repeat customers. And I'm not saying that you are like this. I know that numerous people out there want to help. That's why you got into the profession. But I don't want to be a long-term customer. I want to heal my skin and move forward from this very dark chapter in my life." And in the meantime, between those two doctors, I had DIY'd my own way through my acne. And I researched endless hours online and through books at the library of different vitamins and minerals and nutrients that I could flood my system with that would help with cell turnover and building up that microbiome and helping my skin heal itself from the inside out. And even that didn't do what I needed it to. I mean, at one point I was on 15 different vitamins a day, and it was way too much. So the doctor said, "Let's try you on Accutane. I do agree you're past the point where we can really rely on topical creams and things like that." So he took out the big guns and he prescribed me 1.5 times the recommended dose for my weight at that time. And it was by far one of the hardest things that I and my family have had to go through, because I had never been as angry of a person as I was when I was on Accutane.
Oh, really? So it like elevated your your anxiety. What did it do?
It changed the way that I related to people. My level of anger and anxiety, I was a lit powder keg with a very short fuse. And I don't know if it was because every time I looked in the mirror, I had a strong demarcation line from my chin to my forehead of looking like a terracotta pot, and
Right.
then the rest of my body being as pale as Casper, and that I was saying, "Woe is me," or if it was the massive increase of vitamin A in my system, because that is toxic to
Right.
some extent if you're not monitored correctly. When I got off of it the first time, when I say I could wash my face with axle grease and not get a zit, I mean it. It was phenomenal. I didn't have a pore, I didn't have a scar, nothing.
No, your skin, I mean, I had no idea you had suffered from such severe acne because when we look at your skin, it's gorgeous.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I attribute a lot of that to the work that I've been able to learn and research and work with everybody within the Natural Chaos app. And it's just boosted my level of confidence. And I think that a lot of that had to do with it, especially looking back at the fact that I had to go through a second round of Accutane when I was a freshman in college. And I came home for a winter break and I had my blood work done. And my liver enzymes were almost three times the level that they should be. And I almost went into liver failure because of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
because I mean, isn't that the thing that they're checking all the time when people are on Accutane is they're checking like liver, I guess those enzymes.
liver and kidney enzymes, because the massive dose of vitamin A can be very toxic to your system. Women have to be on birth
Birth control.
control. It's not an option. It is a requirement to take birth control on it. And, would I take it back knowing all the things that I went through now? Probably not,
No, you would
because
have started it earlier.
I probably would have started it earlier. But the adverse side effects that came along with it later on in life were definitely there. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, and I do utilize it as a cautionary tale with a lot of my friends that have kids that are going through acne, because I do want them to understand that the long-term effects really are there. It thinned my skin out dramatically. And, through within the group and within Natural Chaos, through mesotherapy, through collagen induction therapy, I've really gained a lot of that volume in my skin back, which has really dramatically changed the way that my facial structure is and really reversed a lot of those premature aging issues that I had because of Accutane.
Right. No, I mean, and I think it's good, but I think it's also, we've got to weigh it. So I kind of think about it like going through chemo if you have cancer. Like that's one of the last resorts, but it's what you need to do. And if you survive cancer, you're going to probably have side effects from the chemo, but that's the situation that you're dealing with. And I think the same about acne. I think if people can't get their acne under control, I think they really need to look at Accutane because my heart breaks for people all the time when they come into the app or I get messaged all the time saying, I have all these acne scars on my face from when I was in high school. What can I do about it? And it's like you can soften them, you can, make them a little bit better, but you can't get rid of a full-on scar on your face. Like
Yeah,
it
that
you just
damage
can't.
that's done is deep. I mean, it
It's
is,
very deep.
down to the subcutaneous level where, you're looking at CO2 lasers, you're looking at tens of thousands of dollars of resurfacing treatments.
Which are
And
not going to fix it completely. You will never
no.
have that skin the way that you want it. It can get better. But
Right.
there's still going to be texture there.
Of course, of course. And not only the texture, but also the mental damage that comes along with it as well.
Right.
Those scar the scars on the face can be hidden, can be corrected to some extent, but it takes a lot more effort to really get past those moments where you look in the mirror and go, I feel okay with myself, but I don't feel good.
Yeah, you're like, I can pass, but I wish I wasn't, having those internal thoughts of, oh, did they catch my skin in that light? Did it, how did they see it? I don't know.
Yeah, it brings a little bit of self-doubt into the mind a lot when you look into a mirror and not see a face that represents the light that you have within your heart and your soul.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I just find truthfully amazing about Natural Chaos, about the tribe that we have, the group of people, is that we all understand that we all have our own individual plights within our journey. and we're there to support each other. We're there to lift each other up when we're down and grow and learn from that amazing plethora of information.
I agree. And it's almost like I think about my own chicken pox scar that everybody knows I've been working on, you know, which is in the center of my freaking between my eyebrows. And I always think like, I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of grateful for that scar because it's been such a great journey to work on it and to be able to share it and for people to feel vested in my scar or, you know what I mean? Like, it's if we all had perfect skin in there and we were just doing Botox all the time, like that seems almost a little shallow in a way,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, definitely. And we're not walking mannequins. We're human right. beings that all have our own areas that we want to work on. And because we are in such a safe space where we get to share those more sensitive subjects with each other in a judgment-free zone, it almost, to me, makes those visible scars look less visible because you've shared that journey with people. And like you said, they're vested in your growth, in your journey through correcting what you want to correct or exemplifying what you want to exemplify. And it's amazing to me because I'll end up talking to somebody that I haven't seen active in the group for months. And they'll say, "Oh, Ryan, I just watched a live that you did. And I can't even see that portion of your skin anymore. How did you do that?" And, you know, it's just amazing. Like, how did all of this work out for you? It's such a nice way of reminding yourself, hey, this is where I came from and this is where I'm at now. And this was the journey that helped me get there.
Yeah. And I think the ability to be vulnerable on a social media platform and feel supported and loved on for that vulnerability is really rare these days. Mm-hmm. And I think also the app acts as almost like a skin journal, like a digital skin journal for people. So you come in, you start your journey, you share if you choose to. And now all of a sudden you have a record. It's being recorded. And if you continue sharing, people will start looking back and being like, oh my gosh, your skin has transformed.
Yeah, very much so. I'm still so inspired by so many members within the group to see their journey throughout everything, and whether it be learning how to microneedle for the first time and just being consistent with it and moving forward. And 6 months down the road, hey, I have a scar that has massively diminished. And even if it's not 100% visible to the person on the other side of the camera, even the fact that they are showing that shows that they see that improvement. And you, like you said, you don't get that on standard social media anymore. You get a lot of hard drive no's.
Well, you get a lot of snarky judgment statements too. Like, you can't share anything about yourself without somebody being like, you're so vain, or you're too thin to be concerned about your weight, or, you know what I mean? Like, or the other side of it of stop trying, you're always going to look horrible. You know what I mean? It's just, it's just, you can't win on these regular social media platforms anymore when like there are professional trolls who just love to be rude and hurt people's feelings.
Well, it's amazing that we're talking about this because the other day I was thinking about my journey and evolution with Natural Chaos. And I remember the first post that I put up in the Facebook group was a very casual photo of myself from the shoulders to my forehead. Because I have a lazy eye. I'm legally blind in my left eye.
Wait, I didn't know that. I've never noticed your lazy eye.
Well, so I wore a patch over my right eye for the first, I would say, from age 3 till 12, I wore a patch over my right eye every single day in order to strengthen my left eye so that it wouldn't be lazy. So I don't have a lazy eye now, but I'm nearsighted, farsighted, and have a strong astigmatism in my left eye. So it's almost like looking through a lens that's covered in Vaseline. I don't see definition at all. So because of that, my left eyebrow and my left eyelid tend to droop a little bit more. And it especially happens when I get tired. Mm-hmm. So I posted that on and within the Natural Chaos Facebook group and said, is there any suggestion that anybody could give me? I'm just starting off in my journey of what you could think could help with the asymmetry of my brow. The first responses that I got were the most empowering and uplifting responses. I still remember them. I still remember the reading them and thinking to myself, I don't have to be ashamed of the difference in symmetry in my face. And these women were so supportive. They said, I would have just thought that you were a handsome young man thinking about something intently.
Yeah.
And
because
you don't...
I think in the app, people not only are kind and loving, but I think everybody, a lot of people in there seem to be really self-reflective on their own insecurities and want to help lift everyone out of theirs.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that statement 100% wholeheartedly.
Okay, so let's change gears and let's talk about what you did this past week for a live in the app. For those of you guys who don't know, we have a skin squad and they do in the app, and we will continue to open it up and expand our skin squad, but Ryan is on there and he does lives on a regular basis. Would you say you do like a couple a month?
I would say I do at least 2 a month on average. Yeah. Yeah.
And this last he did something for the first time.
Yes. So as a caveat though, I'm not actually part of the skin squad.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I am part of the live team.
Yeah. You're our special live friend.
Yeah. Thursday of last week, I did Nabota, which is the, I wouldn't say generic version, but the Korean version of Juvo, which is botulinum toxin type A, for the first time ever for myself.
That was awesome. Okay. And for our listeners who don't know, so in 2019, Nabota, which is KFDA approved in Korea, finally got FDA approval in the United States as a competitor of Botox. And they changed the name for marketing in the United States to Juvo. So if you've ever been in a doctor's office and you've seen Juvo, it is Nabota from Korea. And that is what Ryan used last Thursday.
And it is amazing. I got done with that live and I felt like I could conquer the world because I had had Botox done previously. I had Botox done as a preventative measure back when I was about 22, 23 years old. I think I had 3 rounds done within 2 or 3 years. And I really enjoyed the overall effect that I received from it. I just was not willing to spend the $500 to $800 to freeze my forehead with Botox.
Well, you wanted a pair of fancy shoes or something?
Yeah, basically. They last longer, Kim. They last longer. I still
so
have those Gucci's and Prada's. But the overall effect was great. I really liked it. but I decided I wanted to, you know, put my money into other investments. And but I gotta say, Nobota far outshined any of my expectations. I mean, it's not even a week now, and I can't furrow my brow, which is exactly where I wanted it to be. I have motion in my eyebrows, so I can still emote. And I didn't spock myself. I didn't drop a brow. None of that happened. It settled nicely. I actually ran into one of my friend's mothers as I was walking back from getting coffee, and she just looks at me and goes, "Ryan, what have you been doing? You look fabulous." I was like, "Oh, thank you, Carol. That's so sweet of you. Actually, I just did my own tox." And she's like, she clutched her pearls. She goes, "Oh, how did you do that?"
What?
And I started explaining to her a little bit about natural chaos and the journey that I've been with it. She goes, "Ah, sign me up."
Wow.
So I'm sure we'll have another member coming in soon because she's been quite enthusiastic about all of it. So.
Well, I mean, we see that all the time, right? It's like it's such an epiphany for people when you tell them, yeah, I do this for myself, and there's an app with people who are all doing this too, and you're more than welcome to join it. And they're like, what? And then they come in and they're just like enthralled. Like I literally think that some of them don't put their phones down. And they just like are obsessed for like 48 hours straight, going through everything, just being so amazed at almost that this entire world exists and nobody's been sharing about it.
I know, but I mean, honestly, how could you not? How could you not be amazed? I am still amazed every day when I open up the Natural Chaos app. I'm like, it just, wait, there's a new product out there? There's new stuff going on. I've never heard of this technique before. It's just a constant learning experience. And for somebody like myself and somebody like you, who is what I would like to say a lifelong learner, and
100%.
just always so invested in wanting to know more about ourselves, the world around us, and things that can benefit ourselves and other people. It's that home space. I wake up in the morning and I have my cup of coffee and I look at my phone and I see Natural Case. It's literally the first app that I wake up to in the morning because I love seeing people's journeys.
Well, and people become such good friends in there too. So you're vested in them and their happiness and their success. You know, it's a really inspiring place.
It really is. And, you know, I think that one of the major things that we have to remember is that those inspirational places don't come out of nowhere. And I have to thank you from the bottom of my soul for all of the hard work and perseverance that you have put forth in making this journey for literally tens of thousands of people accessible and achievable and in a safe space for people to do what they want to do, and that's learn and experience.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, I wish I could say I had some master plan when I was starting out with this and I saw it all, but I didn't. I just continued to roll with the punches and feel supported by people who found me on YouTube, joined the Facebook group. You know, we lost the Facebook group, created the app, then we lost the YouTube channel. And so it's just continued to be this evolution of, oh, they think that they can tell me what to do, or they think that they can like censor me or take away these amazing things that benefit so many. You know, it's just, it feels like robbery. And it almost like, it's funny because I almost feel sometimes like their desire to shut down the conversation only makes the conversation that much more important.
Completely agree with that. I really do. And I feel like it comes from a place of fear and misunderstanding. And excuse me. One of the things that I've always learned about, and it kind of goes back to my experience with choreography and my education in that realm, that some of the best plans are the ones that have no direction whatsoever. And some of the best impetus in the world comes from what I like to call a shower moment. You're just standing in the shower, washing your hair, and you go, oh, that would be a great idea. And then all of a sudden, it just has its own life and grows and creates. And I feel like natural chaos is a birth child of that exact idea. It's what natural chaos really has become. And you've been such an amazing leader within all of it.
Well, I appreciate that. I honestly feel like the only reason it's continued and the only reason I've been able to put forth the effort that I have been able to is because people wanted it. You know, if I wasn't getting the responses I was getting, if I wasn't getting inspired by so many people every day telling me there's value here and that they want it and to keep going, I mean, I would have done something else, right? Because I would have continued doing my own skincare at home, but I wouldn't have tried to build a community around it. And so just like anything, there was a market for this. There was a need for this. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I kind of just continued following the breadcrumbs. And as I was doing it, people came out of the woods and got on the path with me. And that's really how I see it. I just see us journeying together and, you know, every day new people jump on.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with the major support structure like that you do have, like Melissa, Andrea, Dottie, the amazing Skin Squad team that you have.
Thank you. Helping me with so many weird oddball projects that I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. Give it to Ryan. Maybe he'll do it.
So basically you're telling me I'm your catch-all.
No, but I also think you're really good at writing and those kinds of things and expressing yourself. So I wouldn't give you that one project if I didn't, you know, think you would do an excellent job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. And I definitely appreciate the challenge that this has given me as well. And it's helped me grow as a person. You know, as I left my dance career, I did fear at one point that I had lost my love for entertaining and inspiring.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what I did for 10 years of my life was entertain and inspire. And being given these challenges and pushing me outside of my comfort zone when it comes to individual little projects that have a large accumulative effect has really just reinvigorated that in my life. And gets me up in the morning. It's really funny because when I go to work at my full-time job that pays my bills and puts a roof over my head and my partner's head, I view that as my side hustle and this as my main hustle because
This is what you love.
This is the thing that drives me, that empowers me, that really puts the, you know, the fire under me.
Makes you feel like you want to be creative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be with skincare.
Right.
Being, you know, skincare is the impetus with it, but it's challenging in an intellectual manner. It's challenging in a a drive, and it really makes it's inspiring to be around so many people that have so much of that gusto, and really has infiltrated so many parts of my life. And it's not just what people like to think. It's just, oh, that's just vanity. Well, no, it's not just vanity. Yes, there is a level of vanity that comes along with what we do, but there is no such thing as allowing your self-empowerment that you gain through a little bit of vanity that doesn't infiltrate into the rest of your life.
Well, I also think going back to that whole idea of like when you did your first microneedling with peptides and felt super successful with that, or how you just did your own tox for the first time. I think when you do those things and you feel like, oh, I accomplished this, it's just another little like notch in your belt that makes you feel like, you know what? I am a capable, valuable human being. And that one thing seems so hard, and I just did that. Like when I placed those boom cog threads, or they weren't cogs, but those boom threads, and I had to do the injectable lidocaine, and I had to make the pilot hole, and I was like, oh my gosh, can I do this? And then like when I finished that, I was like, there is a whole new world of applications that just opened up to me.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, listen, when Matt did his tutorial on how to make your own hair extensions, clip-in hair extensions, he was a nervous wreck before having to get it taken care of.
Oh, he did
Matt
such a
is
good job.
He is not a drinker, but he looks at me and goes, "I need a drink before I do this." I
Calm
was like,
myself
"Well,
down.
you're not doing anything like to yourself, so I think it's acceptable for you to have one if it's going to calm you down." But you're going to be amazing. And then afterwards, he goes, "I want to do one all the time."
Oh my gosh.
He goes, "This was. That was so amazing, Ryan. I understand why you love doing lives and why you love what you do, because it's empowering, it's energetic." And I mean, he wasn't even looking at the comments. I was reading him the comments, and afterwards he just was like, "I feel like I have a completely new family."
Well, you know, when Jason and I used to do the Amazon lives together, I could tell that he got that same kind of invigoration from doing those lives as well, because he'd be like, "No, I'll do it if you don't feel up to it." And I was like, "Okay." And he was just like into it. But I think it's because, and that's why I'm so grateful that we do such hard pushes in the app to make sure people know when the lives are. And to come out and support, because as a influencer who grew from nothing, I can just tell everyone that it sucks to go live with zero people watching you. And you're just like, hey guys, hey, what's going on? You know, and it can be very unfulfilling because you're not getting any feedback or any, just anything, you know? And so that's the reason I want people who, because the people who go live and the people who are in the app, they're not, none of these people are influencers or used to doing that kind of stuff. And so by helping build them and by making sure that people are there to rally with them, I just feel like it is such a beautiful thing.
It really is. It is quite amazing. And seeing, like, obviously seeing the counts go up as you're on a live is really exciting. You know, oh, there are people that are invested in what I'm doing. There are people out there that care what I'm doing, and which is great. But it's a lot of the after as well, because, you know, in the app, all of our lives are recorded and archived so that people can watch them and review them later on. And those comments afterwards just give you that same level of appreciation each time, because it's new people that weren't able to make the live in the app, and Oh, wow, I just watched your video again, and I'm sitting here with my notepad and taking notes about like the things that I think are really important for when I decide to do something similar. And everybody understands it's not an educational situation, it's a demonstration of somebody's own personal journey with specific products, with specific techniques.
Right.
And they can,
They can do with that information what they want, you know? Like
yes.
if they feel inspired and they're like, well, I want to do exactly what Ryan did, then that's their decision as an adult human being.
Exactly.
Information should never be censored. I just
Never.
think that it doesn't matter if you agree with information or not, but the moment you start to want to silence something, just sets precedents that nobody is ever going to want. It's a slippery slope.
Oh, very much so. It gets to the point where you're looking at, what books are being banned in libraries. It's not it can kind of be related to that. There shouldn't be a ban on literacy. There shouldn't be a ban on somebody's ability to explore something that might not be mainstream and to enjoy that education for themselves. And it doesn't need to be an education to application. It can just be an education for education purposes. There, one of the major misnomers that are out there is that people that are watching these kind of videos on YouTube or social media platforms are automatically going to run out and do the exact same thing because I saw this person do it and that's what I'm going to do. Some, and there's a large amount of people that have a voyeuristic mentality that they just enjoy watching people do their own thing, do it successfully, do it confidently, and it gives them a sense of confidence in their own life that they might not have had before.
Well,
And
think about, yeah. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was just saying, like, I do get people that will comment and message me every once in a while and say, totally outside of my realm of ability, but I appreciate everything that you do. And I feel more empowered in my life because I see somebody who's tried something new and has been successful with it, so it makes me feel less fearful to try something new.
Well, exactly. And to your point, think how many cooking food channels there are. Do you think that they get 10 million views because all those people are going home and making that dish? No, people just love to watch things and live vicariously. And that is what it's about too, you know? Now, obviously, people who come into the app are maybe more desirous to do some things, but that doesn't mean that people who come into the app do everything that I've ever done, or do everything that Christy Rohr has ever done, or do everything that you did. Like, for instance, you did the IV. What did you had you did the you set up the vitamin C IV? Is that what you did that one time?
I did Sindela.
Oh,
Yeah.
Sindel.
Yeah, Sindela with vitamin C and glutathione. So I did the whole full trio.
Right. And I've never placed my own IV. Like I find it very, very difficult to do that. And yet I think doing talks is really simple. And so I just always took for granted that you were doing talks. And then when I heard your live coming up and everybody was like, it's his first time, I was like, wait, what? I was like so confused.
Yeah, I know. I went from, the Toyota to the Bentley. I didn't migrate through anything other when it came to the IV, which is, I mean, in all honesty, like that was kind of one of those, like, I'm just no hold barge. I'm just gonna do it. I know I can. Because I had done PRP preparation before, and my whole thought process behind it was, well, if I can place a butterfly needle in order to draw blood for PRP, then I should be able to place a butterfly needle for an IV. And, the whole reason why Botox was kind of, I don't want to say last on my list, but farther down on my list was because the effects are noticeable for much longer. You know, if I bruise myself because I placed an IV incorrectly, or if I bruised myself because, you know, a thread hit a specific area or a meso hit a specific area, that bruise or that welt will go down within a week. But with Botox, if you hit the wrong area, okay, so that's there for the next 3 months.
Yeah. And I think it's funny how you say, if I bruise. Now, with me, it's I do bruise. I hit things all the time. It's part of my experience.
Yeah, well, you know, it's becoming part of my own experience as well. There are definitely some tools and tricks that I've learned to help mitigate some of those, like arnica and ice rollers and topicals. But you know, sometimes it's just an unavoidable experience, and you can't even fault yourself for something like that, because you go into a esthetician's
Oh, I
office
get
and
bruised
you
at
bruise like
offices.
crazy.
And anyways, I've gone a bunch to those like holistic doctors to get IVs done, and that I always bruise there. So all that kind of stuff, like
Well,
if you're gonna
you even said you're the only time that you didn't get a bruise from any kind of IV was when you were getting the stem cell in Mexico.
Yes, because
And
those people are professional IV setters. They do it like 100 times a day for all the stem cells. And so, yeah, they are like by far the best. Like you
And
don't even feel
they're
it.
pumping them in and out. Let's go, let's go, let's go. You're done, go home.
No, literally, that's all they do. They stand there and they're just setting IVs.
Which, I
So.
mean, it's just amazing in its own right, because it just knowing, I mean, finding, I know I can find a vein on myself very quickly because I know where they are. But having to find a vein on another person, no, I can't do that. I'm not trained as a phlebotomist. Can't do that. Sorry.
I know it is amazing. That's also what's incredible to me is I'm always grateful to the medical professionals in this country and worldwide because they are willing to do this for other people. And obviously like I'm not trained or licensed, so it would be against the law for me to do it anyways. But I honestly have no desire, like absolutely no desire to ever do any of these things for other people. And I get these comments sometimes where people are like, why don't you just get licensed? And I'm like, why? So that I have to have like office hours and be a slave to a business that's really hard to keep up and running with the pharmaceuticals squeezing you on one side and taxes and overhead squeezing you on the other. You know? I mean, there's no incentive. And that's what everyone's going to start seeing more and more. That's the reason medical professions in Japan and Sweden, they don't want to be doctors. They don't want to do it because there's no incentive in those countries anymore to be a medical provider.
Right. Well, here's an interesting fact about the way that education is kind of migrating within the United States recently. The largest growing source of education within the United States is not college, is not medical school, is not master's. It's certifications.
Right, it's going back to trade.
Yes, exactly. Trades and certifications are where most people are getting pushed into, because the overall massive amounts of debt that come along with being in heavy educational fields is just massively
Without job
unable.
placement, without job
Right.
placement. I mean,
So
people go to these universities, they get these ambiguous degrees in theory, which gives them absolutely no practical ability to do anything that would be in exchange for money. And then they're like, well, how do I pay back my debt? And it's like, well, you should have never chose that major because there were no jobs for it.
Right, exactly. And certifications are short term and they are lower cost.
Right.
Now, the other side of things, though, is that anything that comes along within the medical field where you are ablating the skin, putting a needle into somebody else's skin, X, Y, or Z, those are fields that you have to have a esthetician's license, a nursing license,
Well, in the state of
a
California, yeah, like the estheticians can't even break the skin. You can't even get extractions done in the state of California anymore.
It's
It's
the same
ridiculous.
way in Ohio.
It's
It's the
just
same way in
ridiculous.
Ohio.
It's ridiculous.
I wanted to get my certification for plasma fibroblasting
Oh, yeah.
because I've seen amazing results from from you, from amazing members of
I
our
think you
tribe.
would be really good at that, I feel like, too. I
And
would go to you for that.
well, thank you. I'll be your fibroblasting and Matt will do your hair.
Oh my gosh, that'd be such a fun weekend.
Right? Not the recovery process of it. Your hair would look fabulous. Face, on the other hand, would have a little bit of an issue. But in the state of Ohio, it was just deemed within the past 2 years because it was ablative. It's now you have to go to a dermatologist that has certifications in it. So not even just a PhD level, you have to have specific certifications in order to do that process.
Ridiculous. And what does that do? It just makes it so much more expensive.
It's an average of, so I researched it when I was looking into how, if I was to get certified, how I would be able to pay back that certification. And for the lower face and neck area was on a quote unquote sale, which I would never go to a location that is selling a sale product,
Yeah.
a sale service, sale product, great,
You mean
sale
you find them
service,
on
no.
Groupon?
Yeah, exactly. It was a Groupon. I'm not
Oh
kidding you.
man.
I didn't want to say it because I didn't want
Man.
to seem like I was going low to the barrel, but it was $1,500 and that was their quote unquote Groupon sale price. So I'm
Just
thinking to myself,
unbelievable.
okay, that's fine. Like I can definitely get that taken care of. You know, if I, with the certifications and whatnot that I would need, I could make that back very quickly. But then wah, all of a sudden, red flag, can't do it because of, you know, the different esthetician boards that come around. And it's just, and I talk to my friends that have daughters and sons that are in the medical field, and they just look at me in awe and say, how do you know this?
Yeah.
My daughter has been in medical school for 7 years, still has, and they're studying dermatology and they don't know what you're talking about. I said, well, it's because they're being taught a seminar.
Right. They're not doing very much practical training. Guess what their practical training, guess when that happens? When they're finally a doctor.
Right.
So then they're practicing on people, getting their practical and their experience. And look, you have to get it some way. So I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying the schooling is not where they learn. Once they finally get out of school, that's when they start actually getting some grasp of what's going on.
Oh, of course. And I would never discount the education that especially so many of our amazing members in our tribe and in the app that
Right.
do
No,
have that.
100%. 100%. It's just, I think any of them would agree, even like some of the injectable nurses that we have, that they learned on the job and they got their technique and they got better the more faces they did.
Correct. Yeah. It's real life
I
experience
mean,
and
okay, this is how crazy it is. I was somebody's like model for learning how to do lip filler on. And guess who was training the nurses to do lip filler? The
a
sales
rep for the
rep, a
company.
sales
Yep.
rep for the company. So let me get this straight. This person has never gone to medical school. They are trained by a pharmaceutical company, and then they go into doctor's offices and then they certify and do the trainings for that doctor's office. And so again, it just brings it back to home that it is a practical trade to do a lot of these things. I mean, doctors really are trades. We've just really elevated them because it's so hard to get into medical and nursing school, right? Mm-hmm. So we elevate this concept. And I'm not saying I'm grateful for doctors. They've helped me with the deliveries of my babies. And I'm incredibly grateful that if something happened right now to one of my kids, we could rush to an emergency room and, you know, something could be done to help.
Right.
But
God forbid.
Yeah. But I think what ends up happening is that people stop thinking for themselves and stop, and they give up like all their personal power to these medical establishments because they think, oh, well, I didn't go to medical school, so therefore I can't think for myself or read a book on anatomy and understand anything. You know, it's just.
Yeah, no, it's very much of a, if we can keep people in the dark, then they don't know what it's like to be in the light.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of gatekeeping that comes within the beauty community and the aesthetics community, and even in the medical field of, we know this works, but it doesn't align with our business motto. Because let's be honest about it. The medical field and the aestheticians fields are a business.
100%. But the crazier thing about it is they're an unchecked market. So how many times when you go to the doctor, do you say, that sounds expensive. I wonder if we can negotiate a deal, or I'm going to, you know, price you against somebody else. No, nobody ever does that. We just accept whatever the price is.
So there was a TED talk that I listened to, I would say about a year and a half ago, of a woman that decided to do exactly what we're just talking about, which mm-hmm. is price out the medical market and make it to an extreme where it would be available for people to actually price check doctors. And they called gynecologist offices from the lower portion of California all the way up to the upper portion of California and said, I don't have medical insurance, but I need to get a mammogram. And each one of those locations were run independently outside of a large umbrella hospital corporation. Every single one of them gave her a different number.
Yeah.
But it's a diagnostic test that was done by the same machine, different practitioners, different nurses that are actually doing the imaging. But it was a range of around $1,200 between the lowest and the highest.
Yeah. Well, definitely the medical situation and the healthcare situation in the United States is just a huge can of worms that needs to be addressed. I don't know if anybody has the answer for it. I mean, I'm a person who believes in a free market. I believe in no censorship, and I believe in, honestly, I would take a lot of these licenses away and just let people decide based on portfolio and based on recommendations who they want to go to, because I think licenses sometimes give a false sense of security and people just like accept the license and then they're like, oh, I'm good. And I think people should be more aware of who they're actually going to see, and then that price should fit into what they can afford. And when you turn the healthcare system into a legitimate market, you'll see better service. You'll see doctors who want to step it up even more because mm-hmm. they want to, you know, inspire people to come to them. And, you know, it would just be I think it'd be a win for everyone, definitely a win for patients.
Yes. And that's what the medical field is about, is a winning for the patient, not a winning for the doctor or for the hospital.
Well, right now it's a win for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes. Yeah, it really
is. I don't even personally believe doctors are winning. I feel like, unfortunately for poor doctors, they're the face of these systemic problems that are all brought on by pharmaceutical companies. And by the FDA, and by the FDA being corrupt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could fill another hour-long podcast on the FDA's corruption and the way that doctors are unfortunately the ones that are kind of stuck in the middle of it, because yeah, they're the ones holding the massive amounts of debt for their education, the insurance costs, being the faces of all of these things, the insurance. I mean,
their overhead, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, I love the world that we live in our tribe and the Natural Chaos app and the way that we are able to really kind of, I don't want to say circumvent these things because it sounds devious, because it's not, but what I feel like is just so empowering and important about this is that we see these things, we recognize these things, and we're a volume of change within that.
Yeah. I mean, there needs to be change. And I feel like we're the pioneers who finally banded together and we were like, look, we're adults. We're not doing this for anyone else but ourselves. And that's not illegal. And I'm, you know, like, I'm sorry that you don't agree, you know, but that's okay. You don't have to agree because you don't have to do this. And right. I don't know why me choosing to do something for myself is so offensive.
I think a lot of it has to do with jealousy. The green monster comes out in a lot of people. And, you know, how can this person be so brazen and bold and beautiful and confident within themselves? And I can't even get myself to wash my face on a consistent basis. It's a lot of internal things that go along in this world. You know, that's one of the things that I've always had to deal with when it comes to homophobia in life. You know, I've always been an out loud and proud gay man. It's not something that I've really ever hidden in my life. And I have to say, 9 times out of 10, the people that are the most boisterous and the most negative about my life and the way that I choose to live and love are the ones that are unhappy in their relationship, unhappy in their marriage, unhappy in the way that they get to emote and show themselves in reality, because they see me as an individual who is very free and owns who they are and don't fear it. And they are stuck in their smaller constructs of this box that they've grown up to believe is the only way that reality should exist.
Yeah, it's hard, you know, and obviously, you know, that I'm a very like traditional person, but that doesn't mean, like, for instance, I don't agree with abortion, but I also agree that I don't want to make decisions for other people. Like, if other people want to make bad decisions that are, in my opinion, bad decisions, then that's their deal. And I don't even need to weigh in on it. Like, I don't care, because it's all about how I choose to live my own life. And I love you because you're my friend. And I don't even think about, like, having an issue with anything like that. You know, maybe because I'm so personally satisfied that I don't care what other decisions other people are making, right? I just want to be able to make my own decisions. And if I try to judge other people for their decisions, then I feel like that's a slippery slope that almost sets a precedent for me to be judged. And I don't want to be judged or curtailed. And I don't want anybody else to be judged or curtailed.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And one of the things that I find so amazing especially about our friendship and the love that we get to share between the two of us, is that I have never felt any sense of
Like judgment from you.
hesitation or
Yeah.
judgment from you or any of the members of your family. I
Good.
mean, Jason, it's like, it's so amazing to me that every once in a while that Jason and I get to have a conversation, it's just status quo. There's no consideration in either direction. Do I need to curtail the way that I say this, or do I need to, soften the way that I see that? It's because we all recognize each other as human beings that live a life that is good, that is moral, that is supportive of the things that need to be supported within each other's lives. And it's such a beautiful affect. And again, it comes back into the beautiful people that we're exposed to within the Natural Chaos app. It's just, I've never felt shunned. I've never felt like I was not part of a group because I'm not one of the gals.
What do you mean? You totally are.
But
No,
I get to be one of the
100%.
gals on my own notes,
That's right.
not because.
No, yeah. No, we just, honestly, in the end, I just have felt so humbled by anyone who has chosen to join me in this journey. And how could I not love them? Honestly, like that. That's the biggest thing. I feel so much gratitude and humility for all of the people who have followed me on YouTube or supported the Facebook group or then came into the app and wanted to make it something with me. And all I have is love and gratitude for everyone. And I just want to make this the biggest, best thing for everyone involved. And that's how I see it. And, I don't
Yeah,
know.
and it's happening, and it's like I like to say, it's a train that's on its tracks, and you either hop on or get run over by
In a
it.
beautiful way.
Exactly. We will leave you in rainbows and glitter behind us.
All right, Ryan. So as we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners who are probably majority Natural Chaos community members who love you?
I would just like to say thank you so much for being such a beautiful support in my life. And, I love having all of you share your lives with me as much as I love sharing my life with you. And for all new people that are listening in, there's a lot of love to give around. There's definitely no bottom of the barrel when it comes to that. Our love cup runneth over, and the more of us that are here for the right reasons, the bigger and stronger we all get. And Kim, again, I know I've said it numerous times, but we wouldn't be here without such a pioneer as yourself, and with the amazing support that you have from your family and the tribe and the people that love you so much. But the amount of forward drive that you have is truthfully inspirational. I know I pull from that, and I know a lot of other people within the app do. Like they say, it takes a village, but in this situation, I think that the best way of saying it is it takes a tribe.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate connecting with you today, and I know our listeners are going to love this episode.
Well, I very much appreciate being able to share it with everybody.
Isn't Ryan fabulous? He just gives so much insight. He is such an incredible tribe member, and we just feel so fortunate to have him in the Natural Chaos app. This is what I'm talking about, you guys. The most incredible people in the world have joined the app and give of themselves so constantly and lovingly and supportively, and they encourage me to continue forward. They encourage me to jump out there and start a podcast. They encourage me to build the TikTok. They encourage me to just keep the app going, and they're just so excited about it, and I feel so honored to be able to be involved with all these people. And I would love to be involved with you. So if you ever choose to check out our app, I hope you find what we're talking about, the inspiration, the passion, and the self-empowerment that you will receive when you join the Natural Chaos app. Thank you guys for joining me for this episode, and I can't wait to chat in our next one.